May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We have the last week of ordinary time and certainly a kind of apocalyptic imagery of the last times. And also, in one sense, as we kind of look at the book of the apocalypse at times, or even the apocalyptic literature in terms of sign, of kind of synthesizing past, present, and future all in one, there's a good amount of overlap between the first reading from the book of Daniel chapter 2 and also the gospel about stones and stones being cast down. And the stone is Christ. It gets at the mystery of covenant. And there was a stone for sure in the first covenant. It's the tables of stone that Moses went up the mountain. This is from Deuteronomy 10. When the second time after Moses had come down and was infuriated at the idolatry of the people and broke the tables of stone, then he was back up the mountain and the Lord spoke to him and he was obedient and he made an ark of boards of incorruptible wood, first thing. And then he says, I hewed tables of stone like the first and I went up the mountain and the two tables were in my hand. So these tables of stone were fashioned, hewn at least by Moses. And so these are elements that we're going to see in the first reading as well, in terms of a stone that is not cut by human hand. And that's important because although the commandments of God are written by the finger of the living God, this is something that gets at the mystery of the covenant. It's by way of allegory that Galatians 4 will talk to us about the mountains. This is Mount Sinai, of course, where the law, the old law, the Mosaic law came, and the Ten Commandments. And St. Paul in Galatians will talk about two mountains, and these are by way of Isaac and by way of Ishmael. And he writes this in Galatians 4, these things are said by way of allegory, for these are two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Hagar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem, which now is the Jerusalem that is now, and is in bondage with her children. And he goes on to speak of the free woman, Mount Sion, which in fact is a figure of the new, and that new covenant is working out, of course, in this present age, in every age, where that kind of demolition work of Christ, both in society and also in the interior of man, is coming to fruition. So those two covenants are kind of encapsulated in this first reading. We could also, in the its fulfillment, read in the light of Isaiah 2. For in the last days, the mountain of the Lord shall be glorious, right? This stone not cut by human hand, smashing into pieces this great statue, and then a mountain rising up in the midst of it, filling the whole world. This is Isaiah 2 now. For in the last days, the mountain of the Lord shall be glorious, and the house of God on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall come to it. And many nations shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, into the house of the God of Jacob, and he will tell us on his way, and we will walk in it. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. So this is the new law. This is the new law that is will be fulfilled gloriously, which we also see in the book of the Apocalypse with the heavenly Jerusalem coming down as St. John has been taken up a high mountain and sees the glory of the church. It's also the glory of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in a sense. And the Navarre Bible Commentary will talk about that this is a Christological interpretation. The stone is Christ. Some fathers interpret the mountain from which this stone comes as being the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a natural segue, as the stone cut off by no human hand is an image of the conception of Jesus in the Virgin's womb, without the involvement of man. And so you can also see it, if we go back to Galatians 4, with the end of the Canticle of the Magnificat, after we have really a birth according to the promise by virtue of the word of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John the Baptist leaps in the womb of St. Elizabeth. This is really the birth from the free woman, and the last words of the Magnificat the promise made to Abraham and his children forever. And that's kind of synthesizing what we've learned from Galatians in terms of this new covenant and the role Our Lady has in it. Other scriptural facets we can kind of look at is with this notion of mountain and the presence of Our Lady is from Psalm 78, the mountain of his sanctuary, this mountain which his right hand has purchased, and the preservative redemption of the Immaculate Virgin Mary by means of the Immaculate Conception, other things we might be able to speculate on there too. But lastly would be this, and this is where perhaps St. Leonard of Port-Maurice can help us, that just as in a social sense the four tiers of metals represent four kingdoms historically, so too in the interior of man, these can be attributed to kind of the idolatry of self. And we say that because of what happens later, that the head of gold, which is King Nebuchadnezzar, he sets up a statue of gold, and he commands others to worship it, which of course is idolatry, and the Daniel and his companions do not, and of course they're thrown into the fiery furnace. But given that, it gets at the interior state fallen of man, the image of Christ. You are the icon, this is what Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar. You are the image, you are the head of gold. And that image is what we bear in ourselves. But at the bottom of the statue are the feet, admixture of both iron, which is very, very strong, and clay. And it gets at the alliance of both basically the will, which is akin to the feet because it moves us, and the disordered passions, which are based in the flesh, in which there is not a happy union. In fact, there's a disordered union there, and that's the likeness. It's the divine likeness that has been tarnished by and restored consequently. But St. Leonard of Port-Maurice will talk about great Franciscan mission preacher at the way of the cross and how we have to smash basically this idolatry of self that fallen man will inevitably do without baptism. And that's another thing that this new covenant that St. Paul will write about, this circumcision without hands, just like that stone is cut without hands. There's a new circumcision without hands, and that's baptism, of course. And it is important that this really kind of the object of our dialogue with folks in society is always the sacraments, so that really the new kingdom can be set up in the interior, in the heart of man as well. And lastly is this, two cities St. Augustine will talk about, and here we have a kind of split screen of two mountains, Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him up into a very high mountain, took Christ up, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. That's the danger of fallen man, of seeing, looking down from a great height of pride, and then desiring disordered fashion, versus this, the last chapter of Revelation. And he took me up, St. John, to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And so our eyes fixed now on things above, on the glory of the church. May Our Lady, who is the perfect fulfillment of this, and the model and mother of Holy Mother Church, direct our gaze toward heaven, and with all the holy angels, prophets, saints, that we may fulfill our role in the mystical body of Christ.